we're talking about these sort of measures to address our notoriously poor diet up here. What can you tell me about your recommendations?
Well, no doubt the public will be aware. There's been a lot of discussion around diet in the UK generally for the last few months. What we can tell you about Scotland, both in our situation report and the Kantar report that we've published today, is that it shows that over the last 5 years we've pretty much stood still in terms of progress being made on diet and nutrition. So we're not actually improving the situation, and if we continue as we are on current trends, then predictions are that obesity would be about 40% by 2030.
Not great. So what have you seen that's been kind of contributory factors to this?
Well, I mean, it's a complex picture. I mean, some of it is it's kind of moving in one direction. So, for example, we've seen a 21% drop in the sugar content on sweetened soft beverages, which is good progress. But then when you actually look at total sugar purchasing over the last 5 years in the Kantar report, it's only decreased by 1% overall. So it looks like while sugar has come out of things like fizzy drinks, the overall pattern shows that actually overall sugar has not reduced in terms of purchasing.
And what's kind of unique factors that we can find in Scotland's diet, things that we need to tackle up here?
Well, I mean, the position for Scotland is slightly worse than other areas of the UK, but actually, I mean, it's a general issue across the UK, really. So I don't think we're significantly worse. I mean, I think the problem we've got is we're still eating too many high fat, salt, saturated foods, really. And that's the kind of confectioneries, the sweets, the biscuits, the crisps, the chocolates, and the fizzy drinks. And what the situation report we published in December showed is that we really need to reduce that consumption by about 50%.
What about issues of accessibility and affordability?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a particular issue that as we're recommending to the board today that they will need to look at. Clearly, access to a healthy, affordable diet is important for everybody in Scotland. So our view is that a healthy diet shouldn't just be linked to those that can afford it. So we do need to work far more around developing information, education around affordable diets. So, for example, you can argue healthier foods cost more, but actually in a dietary sense, you know, sometimes it's a choice between do you have a portion of chips or do you have a portion of pasta. Now, that's not necessarily an affordability issue. It's not really even an accessibility issue, but it is an education issue. But at the same time, we do need to ensure that what we don't do is exacerbate current inequalities that already exist.
So what kind of inequalities are we seeing? You know, probably, as you say, it's more about affordability these days, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, the situation report shows that there are some differences between the socioeconomic groups. So, for example, the poorer socioeconomic groups tend to have more sugar. The higher socioeconomic groups tend to consume more fat. So there are some differences between the groups, but generally there's a consistent pattern between all groups that it's still too many of those discretionary foods I mentioned earlier.
And it's not just about diet, is it? I know you mentioned a kind of single silver bullet solution. What else do we need to look at?
Yeah, well, I think what we're saying today is that we really need to have a really comprehensive look. You're right in that there's no one solution to this, so it's not just for government to fix it, it's not just for industry to fix it, and it's not just for individuals to fix it. Everybody's got a role to play in how we actually improve from where we are now. So I think the important thing is looking at the range of solutions and not identifying one and saying that's the thing that will fix it, because there isn't one thing that will fix it. So we've got to work on all fronts, and that's what the paper's suggesting to the board, that we need to carry forward action on a range of activities, and certainly our role as the FSS is to actually look at a population level what the overall difference is from all those initiatives, rather than trying to pinpoint one and saying that's the one that made the difference, because there isn't one particular thing that does make a difference.
And just lastly, what if we don't do anything? How bad is the picture? What can we be looking at in the future?
Well, I mean, the paper says at the moment the costs range from 1 billion to 4.5 billion, and the 4.5 billion is the kind of total economic impact. But the consequences really are, as I said, adult obesity at 40%, increasing levels of diabetes, and all the consequences that come from that, and that can actually lead to reduced life expectancy as well. So the end consequence is that we have a poorer, less healthy, unfit society. That impacts on our economic performance, and it also impacts on things like the cost of healthcare and potentially how we actually pay for that increasing cost of health.